Radio Arts Catalyst. Sonic inquiries into art and research.
You're listening to a Radio Arts Catalyst audio production. Radio Arts Catalyst is a virtual space for collective conversations, creative expression, and alternative ways of organising. Through the radio, we're embarking on a journey into what radical spaces for individual and collective voices might look like today, and the potential of broadcasting as an ecology of overlapping spaces for listening, mapping, and transmitting. If you enjoy this broadcast, then please consider leaving us a rating or a comment. This episode forms one in a series produced as part of a residency programme that supports early career artists to expand their practices into sound and broadcasting.
Welcome to the final Becoming Forest radio episode, made by Glom Pham, Tae Yo-hae, and Young-soo Choi, myself. Becoming Forest is a community-oriented healing project for the Southeast and East Asian diaspora. Within diaspora communities, a person's emotional and mental struggles often lie in discriminatory, unjust socio-political systems, rather than solely individual issues. Looking into mental health as a collective responsibility, we have facilitated seasonal forest walks and creative workshops to acknowledge common pain points and experiment with community healing methods. Radio has been an intimate platform to share some of our discoveries and stories along the way. And this autumn episode is the last one that encloses the full circle of our journey and the finale of our endeavor to create a dedicated sonic space for Southeast and East Asian diaspora communities.
Coming through the full circle of seasons, for previous episodes, we included songs with forest from walks in the forest, stories from our community, and interviews with mental health workers and diaspora artists. This multiplicity of voices and sources were the central tenets that held the episodes together with the music at the fringes. However, in this final episode, we want to center the music as a focus of conversation. Therefore, we invited some of our closest friends to share with us songs that hold a significant meaning to them and talk through why and how it has a special value to them. Whilst our friends are talking, you will also hear Indonesian songbirds in the background. Some of the songs shared are versions that are accessible in the mainstream. Others are versions sung by our friends themselves.
We bookmark this episode with two moments of departure and return. At the opening, you will hear a conversation relatively mundane between myself and my great aunt. We were both walking through her leafy suburb on the outskirts of Hanoi from many years ago. It was during a period when my time in Hanoi was coming to an end and I was readying myself to return to London. With the episode closing with a moment of return for myself and my young family after nearly 3 years of being away, an intimate, everyday and benign moment around the breakfast table. We wanted to highlight in subtle ways in which COVID-19 disproportionately affected migrants from global majority South countries, in which a whole host of factors have prevented many from returning, whether that be visa precarity, limitations related to COVID-19, distance and cost prohibitive factors, among others. We want to thank our community of friends, without whom this would not have been possible. And thank you to the listener for tuning in. This is the final in a 4-season episode series. And thank you for those who have joined us on this sonic walk. For those of you listening via NTS for the first time, you can listen to previous episodes on the Arts Catalyst website, or on any other podcast streaming sites by searching for Becoming Forest.
Bác Ngọc là bao nhiêu tuổi? Bác Ngọc
bây giờ mới học cấp 2 hay là cấp 1 thì thôi. Là vì chạy số 8 về mà. 8 rồi.
72 à?
Ừ, chạy về Mỹ đánh là già.
Is called Shimauta. It literally means that the song of island, something like that, island song. It's a pop rock kind of song, but it also uses a lot of the musical instrument as well as, you know, the melodies and also the vocabulary from Okinawa that's been incorporated into the song. I mean, actually the whole style is very Okinawan as well, but it's kind of made it into a rock song. And I think it was made in early 90s, if I'm not mistaken. Might have to check that. But it's really kind of when I was, you know, in school, it was a really, really big song. It was very popular. It's actually, yeah, it's by a band called The Boom. It's a lot of memories. I have a lot of memories from my sort of childhood as well, because it was very popular at that time. So it was written by the lead singer, actually, based on his impressions that he had when he visited Okinawa, especially at the museum called Himeyori Peace Museum. I've been there quite many times as well myself. It's a museum that dedicated to the female students who were mobilized as nurses during the Battle of Okinawa. It's an amazing museum, actually. It's a lot of the personal stories about each single the girl worked in the cave as a nurses for the soldiers, but also, of course, for the civilians as well. And maybe I should be a little bit talk about this, you know, the Battle of Okinawa, because it's the one of the, I think, you know, it's one of the largest, the land battles during the, in the Pacific during the Second World War. The casualty is really big, it's like 200,000 people died. And I think, you know, nearly half of those the casualties, like around 90,000 more, they are civilians, the local people in Okinawa. The sad thing is that the large number of these civilian casualties or death were caused not by the American troops, but by themselves, or following the instructions of the Japanese army, that if they were found by Americans, it's better that they kill themselves rather than surrender. So it's they really are, from what I see, very much of the victim, not just of war, but of an imperial sort of imperialism, and also the army at that time, Japanese army. And it has a long background on it, because Okinawa is a very special place. It has its own history as a sort of kingdom, you know, it used to be a Ryukyu kingdom. And if you look at the location of it, you already know it's very much a central point of, you know, Southeast Asia and East Asia. And it was a very important place for trading, and they had developed their own, you know, very much of big in terms of sort of the influence on the existence, you know, was quite significant and, you know, very prosperous in a way. But it was dissolved by the Japanese government and become one of the prefectures that owns Japan in late 1800s. They had their own cultures and languages, but after that, they've been very much marginalized or discriminated against systemically by the government once they have been part of Japan. That also gives a bit background of why during the war, they were also used as a sacrifice point for the Japanese central government, so that the American soldiers will not come to the mainland of Japan, or at least they can delay the Americans coming to the mainland while they're having the battles in Okinawa. So the central government have at that time used, and of course it's a military, more or less, used the land of Okinawa and the people of Okinawa as a sacrifice, so that they not get the mainland is still protected in a way. So yeah, that's the very sad story, so history behind it. I think this song was made, so this person from the band, he's not Okinawan, he's from mainland, but he, when he visited place, I'm just imagining, but I read also his interview before that he was very shocked how the Japan has treated the people in Okinawa, and also how the people in Okinawa have experienced the war because of that. It uses a lot of Okinawan music, Okinawan vocabulary or language. So it's a brave thing to do as a Japanese person from mainland to do that. But I think he put a lot of thoughts into it. And when, especially like the music is a very Okinawan folk kind of taste in there. When the song goes to the part where it talks about the mass suicide, it does not use any of the Okinawan music or instrument. It's, I think, the way, apparently it is a way to reflect and respect and pay tribute. So there's a lot of thoughts into it. And I find it, it's a very brave thing to do, but I'm also inspired the way that this artist has made this song as a person, someone who was born after the war as well. So that's the about the song.
Kanashimi wa
This Korean pop song is called 거짓말이야. 거짓말이야, 거짓말이야, 거짓말이야. You will hear this title repeatedly in the song. It means that's a lie in rough translation. And the title itself kind of explains why this song was banned in 1975 by the government under dictatorship. The official reason for banning this song was that it would provoke people to question and distrust moral frames. But whose moral structure we are talking about here? In 1970s Korea, we didn't have a labor rights in heavily weighing on export businesses in the name of economic success. Gender inequality was normative, guarded by the double-edged sword of old Confucianism and new Christianity. People were tortured, disappeared, and died by joining in anti-dictatorship protests. The song lyrics are actually about the lover who betrayed all the sweet promises. But when this song became so popular and every street in Korea heard people singing, "That's a lie, 거짓말이야, 거짓말이야, 거짓말이야." If you have been a big liar, you'd feel threatened and exposed, right? So would it for the corrupt authorities in 1970s Korea. Somehow, this song played back in my head during the pandemic period. Intentionally confusing information, racist tropes, cover-ups of mishandling and double standard that tricked and divided people's fragile minds. We are living in the irony that it gets more and more difficult to pin down what truth is, regardless of how much data and opinions are available so quickly and easily. I see this song as a trigger both to a liar and the victims of a liar. It almost feels like a witch spell that reveals all those liars. So when you feel suspicious, try to play this song and see what comes up. 거짓말이야, 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 거짓말이야. 사랑도 거짓말, 웃음도 거짓말. 거짓말이야, 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 거짓말이야. 사랑도 거짓말, 웃음도 거짓말. 그렇게도 잊었나, 세월 따라 잊었나, 웃음 속에 만나고 눈물 속에 헤어져 다시 사랑하는 우리 그대 잊으리 그대 나를 만나고 나를 버렸지 나를 버렸지 거짓말이야 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 그렇게도 잊었나 세월 따라 잊었나 웃음 속에 만나고 눈물 속에 헤어져 다시 사랑하는 우리 그대 잊으리 그대 나를 만나고 나를 버렸지 나를 버렸지 거짓말이야 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 거짓말이야
It's really an original Filipino music sung by a very known Filipino singer. Yeah, during my era, during the 70s, because I used to belong to a choir and I used to be part of a singing group. I was only 16 when the song was first starting hitting the Philippine airwaves. And then when I was 20, almost 19, I know, 20, because I had my baby first before I had my wedding. So, because I married my first love, you know what I mean? So, well, my son is already 6 months old when we decided to be, of course, coming from a very conservative culture, so I have to get married. That song, because, you know, when you are young, you feel so in love. As if it will never end. You know, ngayon at kailanman means now and forever. You know, I thought, ngayon at kailan, it's like I promise to love the man that I marry until death do us part. You know what I mean? So, but it never happens. So, because, you know, things happen. I was young. I didn't listen to my parents. I'm so emotional. Instead of using my head, I use my heart. It was sung by my friend, and then I also had the recorded. I don't know during that time, you know, the cassette one. So I also sang it during my wedding. So, ngayon at kailanman sumpa ko ibig. I mean, from now and then on and forever, I will always love you. Literally, that is the meaning of the song. And during the time when I was my first, because I had my first puppy love. We call it puppy love, first love, puppy love, first love. So that was our like quite theme song. So during the time, because you know, when I fall in love, I'm really in love. You know, it's sort of a feeling of overjoyed. So the song really has a very remarkable and memorable song to me, because it means my love for the man, my ex-husband, the man that I married, the father of my children. I thought I could, as I said, I thought we could stay until death do us part. But unfortunately, after 10 years, then after approximately 15 years, we decided to annul the marriage already. There was a third party. He was. I mean, you know how men are. He's polygamous, definitely. I forgive him once or twice. Then my mother said, when it happens again, I think it's about time to let go. So, why did I sing that? Because for me, I always treasure the love that I have. Because that song is also the manifestation and the I value that song for my children, because my three sons are the product of my love to my ex-husband. So I dedicate also that song from there for them, you know. Next to God, I love the man who I married it, but we're okay. We're still in civil terms, you know what I mean? Because he has three children. He has his own family already, but I'm a blessed single, happy single. You know, as I said, so when I sing it, I could still feel it, but I already forgive him. What is important is we could talk to each other already. There's no more hatred. There's no pain. I move on. I let go. But the song now really is dedicated, and I share it to my three children. And my children knows that.
Ngayon at kailanman, sumpa ko'y iibigin ka ngayon at kailanman. ka na mag-iisa ngayon at kailanman. Sa hirap o ginhawa pa, asahang may kasama ka, Sinta. Naroroon ako tuwina, maaasahan mo tuwina, ngayon at kailanman. Dahil kaya sa'yo nang maitadhanang ako'y isilang sa mundo, upang sa araw-araw ay siyang makapit, upang ngayon at kailanman ikaw ay mapaglingkuran. Hirang bakit labis kita higit sa aking buhay. Sa bawat araw ang pag-ibig ko sa'yo niyang lalong tumatamis, tumitingkad. Bawat kahapon ay daig nito, bawat ngayon na daig na lilimot ka lang pag ang araw at bituin ay di na matanaw. Kapag tumigil ang daigdig at di na dumalaw, subalit isang araw pa matapos ang mundo'y magunaw na. Magwawakas pag-ibig kong sadya wagas ngayon at kailanman. Sa bawat araw ang pag-ibig ko sa'yo liyan lalong tumatamis, tumitingkad. Bawat kahapon ay daig nitong bawat ngayon na daig ng bawat bukas. Araw ang pag-ibig ko sa'yo liyan lalong tumatulis, tumitingkad. Bawat kahapon ay ngayon at kailanman.
Oh, It's actually a very popular song in the Philippines in the early 2000s. You know, that there's like the resurgence of bands in the Philippines. So this is one of the famous songs of Moonstar 88. So the persona, the one, you know, that the song is like migraine, you know, headache. And then the headache because the one singing the song, the persona, is like, I'm talking to the beloved, like, so what are we? Are we friends? Like, what am I to you? Like, where are you at now? So, like, I'm really confused of thinking, how do you feel about me, about us, if there's us between this us? And so whenever I hear this song, I always remember specific men, specific incidents, specific hurtful things that have been done to me. So I think at this point, I still carry it because sometimes, you know, they're here in the UK, like there are men who, you know, sometimes I ask, are they really interested with me? Or they just need a company? Or I will end up again in a migraine situation. So I'd rather like have the guy like say a front, Oji, I like you. And this is what I envision that this is where going. What do you think about it? Then, you know, like, you put me in a situation because it's like, you know, if you like someone and then, like, migraine, like, it will give you just one thing. Like, it will give you, like, I mean, to put it in an example, in a complete, like, for example, we'll give you, like, a 12-inch ruler. And then as the ruler is like the representation of this is what I feel for you. And then take a guess. And then the guess is like several miles away because you will think he only gave me 12 inches of attention or feeling, but my interpretation is several kilometers away. You get my point. So
that's,
and it's really like the headache and the heartache. It's really migraine. And then this happened 2 months ago in the bus. So I was riding a bus going to Birkbeck, and then in front of me there's a Filipino. She's a Filipino. And then she was listening to the song, and then I think she was then aware, you know, the kind of a headset that you can hear also the sound of what you're listening to, the kind of, I think she failed to turn it up, so I can hear the song. And then like, and then while in the duration of the travel, and I remember things, and okay, so one of the things that made me decide, actually to help me decide that I can no longer go back home, is that I have no one else to go back there aside from my family. So that's a very
it's a really lovely song, and also like the way the song tells about you never know whether this is a relationship or not, comes your migraine, but also your situation in Philippines. whether this is a relationship or not, in the work setting, but also politically, really challenging time, and now you're listening to this song again, that's why I have a home to go back to, which also causing a migraine.
Yes, at some level, because it's just, because it's a very weird time in the Philippines. Like, what's happening politically, it seeps into your personal space. So as someone who was very, very engaged on what's going on in the country, it was 2016, and I fought, you know, battle public related to politics in my work, and then on a private, in a way that they're also they're all related. So that's a song that it's always remind me. I always play it whenever.
Maglilinis ako ng aking kwarto. Napunong-puno ng galit at dami. Mga bagay na hindi ko na kailangan. Nagkaraang hindi na pwedeng pagpaliban. Natagpuan ko na ang tunay kong ligaya.
Lumabas ako ng kwarto't naroon siya. Magpapaalam na sa'yo ang aking kwarto. 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 Magpapaalam na sa'yo. Magpapaalam na sa'yo.
Kwarto literally means room, a bedroom. So when I say kwarto, so the persona, the one that telling the singing the song, broke up with a beloved, and then all the memories of the beloved is actually in the room. Like he was enumerating, you know, the letters. The shirt, the dress, everything that, you know, that the ex actually left, and then the memory are intact in the room. So the song is actually, the persona is cleaning the room. So like, I'm removing this and that, and then it reminds me of you. I have to remove it. So it's very beautiful because I think, one, the language is very poetic. You know, that's it's poetic in the sense of real poetry. Like the objective situation is in a room, and then the persona is cleaning the room, and then the things that you see in the room are metaphors that reminded of a love that used to occupy this space, and then slowly cleaning it so that the persona can move on. So actually it's a moving on song. Moving on, it's either confront the past, because that's the beauty of it, or moving on or completely erasing the past that it never happened. So that's the tension in the song. And I really, really like it. And I think poet friends in the Philippines, we had a conversation that they really love the song because it's very poetic. Like, literally, this is a poem. and into a song. So I like it because it's, although I never had a relationship with someone.
Batak means is one ethnic group that originated from North Sumatra, Indonesia. The land was famous for its field of rice and, of course, the large natural Lake Toba, which is the largest volcanic lake in the world. Yet, the fertile lands are not equally spread throughout the North Sumatra, and many people had chosen to migrate to more fertile lands and metropolitan cities at their young age, either to study or work. Merantau, or travel out of the homeland and move to the other province or islands in Indonesia, is embedded in the tradition. And perantau, or the nomads, is one of typicality known for the Bataknese people. My parents moved to the island of Java back in the 1970s. My sister and I were all born on Java Island. Although sometimes we feel less connected to my parents' homeland, our parents continue to speak the Bataknese language at home and play Bataknese song. The Bataknese community builds strong social bonds with their ethnic fellow through regular family gatherings. There is even a Batak ethnic-based church where we regularly pray and gather with the other Bataknese people. Even though we rarely visit North Sumatra or the Batak land, only once in a few years, the elders always remind us to never forget and continuously love our homeland. This song was indeed a manifestation of the values and ideology of the Bataknese community and embedded in the everyday life of the urban and international Bataknese migrant community. The song has always reminded me of my identity and my ideology. Everywhere I go, I will always remain a Bataknese. O tano bata, aholunga tu, manchai masiho, doa tuho, dang olo modong, dang nop mata. Sayau naik mian diho sambuloki o tano bata aholongaku manjai masiho doa tuho dang olo modong dang nop mataku sai na malumun doa sai naing tuho ho ta no bata sai naing hut bata Dapoto no ku Tano hago dangaki Hota no bata Andigan saat Awon naeng mian diho Sambuloki Molodung bicar mata niari Lau panapuhon haumai Gandong golu siganupari Namari ngandiho sambuloki Ho tano bata Sainakuta Lapo tano Oh,
because this song was kind of like a theme song the first time I met you in Hua. So in a way, it's special for me when it comes to our friendship. But for me, the reason why this song has such a special place because it's associated with a very memorable historical moment during the pandemic. I know that we have grown to be tired of talking about it, but for people like me, at least, this is the biggest public crisis I've ever experienced, at least in my adult life, so it has a lot of impact on me. And especially this song was performed by the musician Chen McDun during one of the harshest lockdown, if not the harshest lockdown, Saigon experienced last year. So it was so harsh that people couldn't go out. Thousands and thousands of people were quarantined in field hospitals and at homes and in regular hospitals as well. Movement were restricted, you know the drill. That lockdown was tougher than any other lockdown we have seen in previous year. And for context, in 2020, Vietnam did quite well. We were one of the success cases in terms of COVID-19 containment. And as a journalist, I have been reporting about it. I was reporting about it while I was in the country. So what happened is the musician would just ask for lots of permission, jump through many hoops, in order to go in front of a field hospital, perform in open air with a mask on, which has already have a hole on it, because he poked one so he can, you know, play the saxophone. And it became, for some reason, in some way, an anthem of the lockdown. For me, it's special because it traversed the lockdown. It traversed movement restriction. It becomes a language everybody understands. A message of empathy that transcends all the barriers that were keeping us apart during the pandemic lockdown. That's one reason why I liked it. I find it so special. And when I found out about this song, I myself was in lockdown. I was locked inside my house. I haven't been out for weeks. And this song, for some reason, has such a sentimental effect. Because it makes me think about other people outside, even more strongly than I have already thought about them during the pandemic. It revokes similar sentiments, like how I feel about when street vendors call out to people about their products, like Bánh mì nóng đây, hay ai ăn xôi đây, you know, and that's become the anthem of the streets. But when the streets were locked down, there was no sound. The streets were dead, people were gone. And what makes this song also special to me within that context is, for people who don't know about it, is about hometown. Motherland or whatever, depending on how you translate quê hương into English, which can be contentious. And ironically, during this peak of the pandemic, during this lockdown, a few weeks after this song were released, or even shortly after that, we see a massive exodus of domestic migrants going back to their hometown. And we talked a lot about international migrants coming from Vietnam to different countries, including the UK. But within Vietnam, there's robust domestic migration as well. And when people were locked down inside their house with little to no social welfare, with no incomes, they couldn't even go out for food, for a walk, for whatever reason, they would think about their hometown. And that's when millions of people left from different points in the country, including Hanoi and Saigon. And for some reason, this song was sort of ominous of that moment for many people. I don't know if they heard it and they felt compelled, that they felt like they want to go home because that's a safe place for them. It is no longer safe at their rental place. And then you see people on motorbikes with
all the belongings that they can carry, and also their most precious things in the world, their children, everything on a motorbike, and they just drew home. Despite for many of them, they have to drive like hundreds of kilometers. And for me, it also, the song itself and the migrant exodus, the song itself about hometown, everything, when I weave them together, it is sort of a rhythmic and lyrical protest against the stringent lockdown and the failure to contain the pandemic in many, many ways. You don't need to go out and shout your right and stuff for it to be a legitimate protest, quote unquote. Protesting against injustice can be in so many ways, and it can be as simple as a song about hometown. Now, again, not everything has to be a protest, an act of protest, an act of grievance. Sometimes it's an outlet for grief, because a lot of people lost their family members during the lockdown and during that pandemic wave. For many of us, tens of thousands of people died, and they couldn't even see their hometown for the last time. So, to each their own. It doesn't have to be fierce, it doesn't have to be protesty, but for many, hometown has a meaning. And for me, hometown is where I can feel empathy for people around me. So in that way, I guess I have many hometowns.
Thank you. thấy ông dùng cái này tốt rồi.
Phở, phở cùng với
cái này.
Phở, phở hỏi phở. Phở, phở hỏi phở. Nghe phở nha.
Dùng iPad rồi mà. iPad mua thêm cái bàn phím dùng nữa.
Phở, phở hỏi phở. Phở, phở sắc phở. Phở, phở nhận phở.
Không, cho nó không đánh bà.
Sao bà nói
à? Bà trêu con thôi, không đánh bà nữa nhá.
Em ăn quẩy nhá. Em ăn Sunan ăn quẩy nhá.
Sunan, con muốn ăn đi rồi mẹ cho xem đây là. Nhanh lên nào.
Xem đây
bà. Thế phải ăn phở đi. Bà buồn thì bà bảo là
bà sẽ khóc đấy.
Bà khóc bây giờ đấy.
Thế là không chịu ăn thì bà buồn nữa. Bà khóc
chưa, bà không cho xem của bà nữa là đai đàn của bà hay lắm. Nhưng mà bà không cho xem vì Sunan không ăn á. Thế thì con phải ăn đi để được xem đai đàn.
Cường giỏi quá.
Cường ăn đi, con ăn rồi.
Giỏi quá.
Đây là
ăn đai đàn ông. À, thế thì ăn cho này làm một cặp tí mà.
Làm chứ mình rửa đâu.
Ừ, không ăn quần này.
Không phải đi ạ.
À, đi thì mình làm một cặp.
Đi chụp ảnh chứ.
Sao ăn được đi
không?
Sao ăn hàm lấy hộ khẩu à? Sao ăn hàm chứng minh thư à?
Hộ khẩu mới có được không? Mang cả giấy khai sinh của nó đi nhờ.